Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to our Wednesday Chaplain Reflections. As we have said in the past, but just as a reminder, we will be taking a summer recess after today's talk and returning again after we have a couple of months off and in the month of September. So word will be sent out once we are resuming. Today we are welcoming Father John Baumgartner, who is an associate chaplain for the Milwaukee region, and he also serves as parochial vicar in four Milwaukee parishes. Good morning, Father John, and the floor is yours.
Good morning, Frat Tom, and hello to everyone. It's good to be with you. And thank you so much to Frat Tom for this very kind invitation to join here today. I'd like to reflect with you on St. Bernadette and choosing a childlike heart over a cynical heart. When Catholics all over the world think of the grotto in Lourdes, France, can't help but be filled with peace, joy, and hope as they remember the apparitions of Our Lady and the many healings that have taken place since those days. But I think in a particular way for the members of our order, we have a special fondness for that grotto, for the place where we go on pilgrimage. Here in the Milwaukee region, as I began as associate chaplain, some of my earliest memories from the order came from visiting two of our members who are now deceased, Dan Meehan and Bill Drew. And I always remember that as I visited them in their homes and places of residence, that even as their health began to fail, that we would just often talk about Lourdes, the rich memories of praying in the grotto, of serving the Milads, all the different experiences that come from being on pilgrimage there and that sacred place. And to be a pilgrim and friend to Lourdes means that you're also a pilgrim and friend to its visionary, to the poor, humble shepherdess, St. Bernadette. And of the many things that she offers by her life and her witness, I think she offers a beautiful witness to choosing the childlike heart over a cynical heart. Her sickness, the poverty, and the sufferings that she experienced in her life could have easily led to despair, hopelessness, or maybe even cynicism. But yet, like all the saints, she chose again and again to become more childlike over becoming cynical. And we are always faced with the same temptation, but also the same choice. And I think in a particular way in these past few months, I'd like to reflect with you briefly here today on St. Bernadette's example. The story of Bernadette and the apparitions of Lourdes is well known to many. February 11th, 1858 began as a day unlike many others. Bernadette set out with her companions to gather wood, and upon her return, the Blessed Mother appeared to her in the first of the 18 apparitions. Despite subsequent apparitions, it was only after the telling of the lady's name, Immaculate Conception, and her local Patois dialect, her pastor, that his heart would be changed and everything would begin to unfold in a much more public way. And I think we know the rest of the story, the beautiful history of the grotto, the processions, the building of the shrine, and so much joy, peace, and conversion, healing to the thousands and thousands who have visited Lourdes in the years since then. And what a gift that Bernadette received, what an incredible privilege and opportunity that she had by encountering Our Lady. But that did not mean she had an easy life. Actually, quite the contrary. Her life was marked by poverty, by poor health, suffering, and even at times persecution. She grew up in a very loving and faithful household, but it was a household that was often marked by utter poverty. You might recall some of those things from her story, that at a certain point at her father's mill, there was a lot of financial hardship in the family that she actually largely raised in the abandoned room of the old town prison. And there were several points as well in her childhood where she had to live outside of the family home, basically as a hired servant girl, taking care of the menial tasks of the house and couldn't even be with her family during that time. And after the apparitions themselves, the number of crosses and the amount of suffering actually increased, not decreased, paradoxically enough. Her initial accounts of the apparitions were met with disbelief by friends, her own family, and the strong-willed local pastor. Famous, too, are the harsh interrogations she went through by the local police commissioner and the medical examiners. And when she finally entered religious life later on in the convent at Nevers, the mother's superior severity and coldness towards her personally caused a lot of suffering before she would die from tuberculosis at the age of 35. So if you think about it, you kind of take a bird's eye view from all of Bernadette's life. There actually was a lot there that could have led her to exclaiming, like Jeremiah the prophet's O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. That's the RSV translation. Lord, this is different than what I expected. And there's much that, if not by God's grace and her faith, everything from the poverty of her childhood, the physical suffering, the difficulties she encountered with the apparitions, that very easily the purity of her childlike heart could have been very much overwhelmed. Her heart could have been changed and could have become cold or cynical. Friends, for all of us here on this call, all of us in the order, for believers, for Catholics, all of us, that at times as we go through life and we experience suffering, how easy it is for our own hearts to become hardened, to maybe have that same reaction like that of Jeremiah, but to say, Lord, you tricked me. This is different than what I anticipated. Everything that I'm going through right now, maybe my own sufferings, is this the reward that you give me for my faithfulness? And I think in a particular way, just in our present times, these past few months, so filled with hurts, with anger and division, right, it can be easy to lose hope. Our human hearts are so sensitive, and really, there's a lot in these past few months, and likely much more to come, that would justify our hearts losing faith, giving in to despair, or even becoming cynical about the church and the world. Our gospel this Sunday reminds us that our Lord reveals the mysteries of the kingdom, not to the wise and the learned, but rather to his little ones. Becoming like little children before our Heavenly Father is not a disconnect from reality or return to adolescence or to immaturity, but rather choosing over and over again of the pure childlike heart like that of Bernadette over a heart that could become cold or cynical. Choosing a pure heart, a childlike heart, isn't just a nicety, but rather it's the way of the Beatitudes that allows us to paradoxically live charity and joy while being immersed in suffering. And I think Bernadette's life gives us a few practical helps of how to daily choose a childlike heart over a cynical heart, that there was a great beauty to the entirety of Bernadette's life, not only just what happened in the accounts of the apparitions. First, I think the life of Bernadette invites us to be careful with our words. Our words, for better or for worse, share in that same creative power of God's word. What we say affects not only others, but also has an effect on our own hearts. Bernadette was not afraid to speak the truth. We see that over and over again in the apparitions and the accounts in her life. But she also realized the effect it would have on her if how she spoke was not done in charity. And a few examples come to mind. The first time you might recall that she met with the local pastor, the Abbé Peyrémont, he began that encounter by saying, "Ah, so it's you. You know, strange things are being told about you, my poor Bernadette." To this, Bernadette, though, she chose not to respond, and she ended their meeting by simply, again, not really responding, but simply bowing. She bore no grudge, and she left without saying anything uncharitable. Later on, again, there's another famous incident. Another sister was kind of gossiping or speaking to her about the Mother Superior's harshness toward Bernadette, and Bernadette just simply said, "But I owe her a great gratitude for the good that she has done in my soul." Friends, the list of things that we have to talk about here in these present months, and I think in much more to come, there's a lot to talk about, a lot to critique, a lot to disagree about. The list is long and frankly, almost endless. But Bernadette invites us to, we need to speak, we need a dialogue, we need not to be afraid to say the hard things, but we always have to do that in charity, in conversation, because she knows how it can harden our hearts if we're not careful. I think the second thing that Bernadette offers us by the example of her life is to pray for the grace to see the present times as part of God's will. One of the things that Bernadette said is that she said, when the good God permits it, one does not complain. In other words, she's inviting us to certainly look for creative ways to better a situation, to bring about greater happiness, to end evil, to end suffering, to end the sin that's in the world. But she also invites us to say yes to the cross when God has permitted a time of suffering. There's one time she was lying in bed, one of those times where she was very seriously ill, and she just simply said, "My duty is to be sick and to pray." In other words, a real kind of realization that her vocation really was just to accept suffering, to be sick and to pray, to offer that up. Bernadette invites us to grace to see the cross, to see the things that, you know, we never would have anticipated, never would have asked for as part of God's permissive will, but to still see them as places where God can act, in which we can receive and give love, even in those hard and those difficult places. Finally, the example of Bernadette invites us to give our hearts over to Mary daily. I find it interesting that the lady did not speak actually until the third apparition. But Bernadette would often say that she was the most beautiful lady that she had ever seen, and that the lady simply smiled at her. We turn to Mary as Catholics because her beauty, her smile, her presence, it has that same power to convert even the most hardened of hearts, and she has the same power to care for our own weak and fragile hearts, to keep them from growing cold and cynical. Before I turn things over to Frat Tom, I just wanted to kind of close here with a little prayer and invite you maybe to close your eyes, to just simply enter into to the imaginative prayer, and maybe picture yourself, maybe transport yourself to Lourdes, specifically to place yourselves with your eyes closed in that same grotto. You might recall that the statue there that we always look up to, that we'll turn toward in prayer, and just place yourselves in the presence of our Blessed Mother. Imagine as well, too, that the little Bernadette is right by you. She's praying on her knees and talking to Our Lady. She's made the sign of the cross, and what I invite you to do now in your own prayer, in your own hearts, is just to simply name maybe a place of suffering, a cross. Maybe it's our own physical health, our own physical suffering right now. Maybe it's a frustration with our country, with our world, with maybe even our church. Maybe it's a disagreement, something with our family, our friends. But whatever it is in our own heart, I would just ask you to give it to Our Lady and to beg her to pray for the grace of childlike trust, of surrender, to say fiat, to just be like our Blessed Mother and trust that our Lord is there, even in all of that. And I close now in prayer with the Alma Redemptoris Mater. Loving Mother of the Redeemer, Gate of Heaven, Star of the Sea, assist your people who have fallen yet strive to rise again. To the wonderments of nature you bore your Creator, yet remained a virgin after as before. You who received Gabriel's joyful greeting, have pity on us, poor sinners. Again, it's so good to be with you, everyone. God bless. Know my prayers. I'll send things over at this time over to Frat Tom.
Thank you, Father John, for a nice way to conclude our talks as we go into the summer recess. And once again, we will return in September. But in the closing, I'd like to conclude with a daily prayer. Lord Jesus, thou hast seen fit to enlist me for thy service in the order of St. John of Jerusalem. I humbly entreat thee, through the intercession of the Most Holy Virgin of Palermo, of St. John the Baptist, Blessed Gerard, and all the saints, to keep me faithful to the traditions of our order. Be it mine to practice and defend the Catholic, the Apostolic, the Roman faith against sacrilege. Be it mine to practice charity towards my neighbors, especially the poor and sick. Give me the strength I need to carry out this my resolve, forgetful of myself, learning ever from thy holy gospel, a spirit of deep and generous Christian devotion, striving ever to promote God's glory, the world's peace, and all that may benefit the order of St. John of Jerusalem. Amen.